to you are all things. So what is a thing that you would love to see Jesus move in? To you are all things. What is a thing you would love to see Jesus move in? My name's Danny. If we've never had a chance to meet, I'm on staff here. And if you're a guest, thanks for joining us. There's a little bit of shift today. Pastor John decided to get a little flu bug. So we made a little shift midweek, so you get me today. And we are going to talk about Lent, longing, and lament. And before we get into it, we're in this beautiful season of Lent. It's part of the church calendar where we're preparing for the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. Okay, there we go, all right, great, fantastic. I understand for some of you, you weren't at 5:45 like me, coffee's still working, okay? But Resurrection Sunday is that space that we as believers and followers of Jesus, like we declare that all things are good. It's the reason we sing what we sing. So the invitation in Lent is to go, how do we prepare regularly as a reminder that we need a resurrected Savior? And so we're going to sit in that a little bit today. Now, in regards to Lent, Lent's a beautiful season. I actually have a practice every year that I go through in this time of year. And it's one of those special spaces that we don't just go through the motions when it comes to the resurrection. At least I don't. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrected Christ. And so in the conversation that we're going to have today, I want to talk about Lent. I want to talk about lament. Lament can be illustrated as, it's been said, a prayerful expression of sorrow and grief. Or said another way by Henry Nouwen, if you're familiar with that theologian and philosopher, he says, Lent is a space to embrace our human vulnerability, and we do that through lament. Now, lament and longing are very different. So let's start with longing, okay? Longing is this deep yearning for something different, a desire almost unquenchable at times. A deep yearning. Like last night at 10:30 at night when I was driving down to LAX to pick up my wife from a flight she got back to see her family, what always happens on the 405 5 minutes before your exit? Gridlock. So instead of getting home at midnight, oh, it was 1 o'clock, it was fine. It was just an hour shift on the highway, that was it. I was longing to get home in that space. For some of you that you, maybe you not live around family or dear friends, there's a longing to see them. Here's a picture just actually a little over a month ago. These are good friends of ours, George and Shelley. We have known them since 2014. They are near and dear to us. He's actually Romanian. They're missionaries in Romania. They came through, and it was just super fun. We tried to get a good picture on top of by the cross with all the wind, and our laughters were like, we're never going to get a good picture, and this is actually fantastic. There's a longing to see them. My kids are in college. I have a longing to talk to them all the time. There can be deep longings in us that actually can be like prayers. When we think about our faith, faith as a longing, for those of you that were in our service last week, we were invited to write down names of people that we'd love to see step further in their relationship with Christ, and we put them in the suitcase, and we've been praying over that this week. For some of you, there's a deep longing that those people that you are praying for would say yes to a next step with Jesus. For some, there's a deep longing in your household right now that there'd be healing. Maybe there's a deep longing around medical conversations or even finances. And those longings can be real, and they're powerful, and they often, in a faith perspective, drive us to sit with Jesus a little bit longer. But longing and lament are vastly different. Lament, and Martha, you can put that up. Lament is said this way. A prayerful expression of sorrow, grief, and frustration often allows us in times of pain and suffering to get connected to ourselves in a deeper way. Lament is actually a deep, visceral moment. Lament hits us in a way that is vulnerable and can even be debilitating. Lament is part of the human experience. And what's fascinating to me is how often we try to run from lament. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. Who wants to see me crying in this moment right now? Who wants to hear my deep anguish over what I'm actually lamenting over? Wait a minute. When I ask you, how was your day? And you go, good, it was great. Is that really how it was? Lament is a practice that is deeply rooted in Scripture and the experience with Jesus. And I want to invite you into the idea that lament is a beautiful expression of faith. So today, we're going to sit in Psalm 27. If you have your Bible or the Bible in the pew, great. If you grab your Bible app, go there. But we're going to sit in Psalm 27. Now, just a little bit of context. All the Psalms are not chronological. So if that was ever an occurrence to you, like, oh, the Psalms are written in order. No. They're just collected in that way. But there are many Psalms throughout the Scriptures that are lament-driven Psalms. Psalm 27 is one of them. Psalm 27 was written by David. David, if you're unfamiliar with the Bible, actually was a king of Israel at one point in time, but his story originated as a shepherd boy. If you're familiar with the story of Goliath and David, David was the hero in that moment on behalf of Jesus. And I've not seen it, but I hear there's a fantastic series on Amazon Prime right now related to the story of David. See, David was chosen to be the king. It's said that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet David's journey to become king was a really long one. Why? Because the current king named Saul wasn't having it, to the point that Saul actually chased David for years to try to kill him. And when I say chase, check out this map. All of the tracing in the green and the little red boxes are different spots that David had an interaction with Saul while he was running for his life. David is someone we can learn from a lament. Psalm 27, verse 1 through 3. Go there with me. David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" There's a great declaration that David is saying, this is my God. This is the God who redeemed Israel. This is the God who's brought me into my space. This is the God who I'm going to trust where I'm at. "When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh." What in the zombie apocalypse are you talking about, David? "My adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." Often in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll see language that the authors use that is visceral and it's real. And this illustration of the evildoers who assail me and eat up my flesh, it's a picture of what wild animals do. It's that visceral of an image in David. He starts with the confidence of saying that my God is my light and my salvation, but when evildoers assail me who want to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." That is bold. Though an army. Like, I'm pretty confident as a person, but like, you go one-on-one and I think you're going to like kick my tail, I'm going to be nervous. He says, "When an army encamps around me, I shall not fear." Okay. All right, David. "Though war rise against me, I will be confident." Okay, what does it have to do with lament? See, lament is this moment in our lives that something does not align. That something is happening around us. It is outside of our control. It is outside of the plan we had, big air quotes, to go a certain direction. And it's not just like the bummer, gas went above $5 this week. That's a longing for it to go down. Lamenting is, wait a minute, like my entire soul and being could be crushed in this moment. And yet David starts with the confidence that the Lord is my light and my salvation. See, the weight of the circumstances, even around David, he was willing to acknowledge them. Part of lamenting is acknowledging reality. It is not trying to increase it to make it sound better. It is not trying to just make it sound pleasurable in the moment when it's really not. It's just calling reality. It is what it is. And in the lament, there is moments where we have to be okay to sit with the fact that life is not great right now. But we have rescue coming. Verse 4. David writes, "One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." you're unfamiliar with some of the language, let me just break down verse 4. It says, one thing I've asked the Lord, that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, jump down, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. In Israel, God declared that there would be a space for him. In the traveling of Israel through the wilderness post-Egypt, it was a tent, it was a tabernacle, it was a place of meeting. It was a physical location that Israel could see that God is with me. During Saul and David's time, in fact, part of David's legacy as a king of Israel began to building the temple. His son Solomon finished it. It was a physical dwelling that declared this land is God's, and this is where we meet with him. Do you approach Sunday morning that way, that God is going to meet you in this space? Do you approach your small group? Do you approach your living room? Do you approach that with the God, the resurrected Christ is with you, he will meet with you? And that when you ask to see his face, regardless of what you're into and regardless of where you're at, he will show up. That's the confidence that David is writing with here. David is sitting here saying that I want to see the Lord's face. In the Old Testament, when people saw the face of God, what often happened in Scripture? They died, they went blind, they freaked out. David is asking for a dwelling of God physically in front of him. Why? Because of the enemies and the foes that are encamping around him, because he has a trust that even with what's happening, he wants to declare the truth that he has experienced. And it's a powerful moment that when David says in verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up. I don't know about you, but when I go to lament, I am downcast. My head sinks. Making eye contact with people is very difficult. My head is now lifted up in the day of trouble. For he, who is he, God, will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. There's a deep sense of protection here. There's a deep sense of presence. There's a deep sense that David is waiting for the glory of God to do what the glory of God has always done, to show up. And so when we lament, our posture is critical. Lament and longing are different. Longing is this deep yearning, like something is just unquenchable. I really want this to happen. And it could be on the great ends. It could also be when life just hurts, that there'd be a longing, you'd see something different. But lamenting is when you feel so lost, so out of control, so out of sync, that just nothing makes sense. And the last thing you can think of is the only thing that you want when you go to bed and when you wake, first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning. And it's in those spaces that we're asking God to show up. That we're asking God, here's where I'm at, but we ask it in a posture that Jesus, we trust that who you are, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Why? Because this side of the cross, we believe in the resurrection. So David starts the psalm of lament with confidence. David starts the psalm of lament declaring who God is in his life. David postures lament as a place of trust. And then his tone changes. Not only does his tone change, I love the fact that his tone changed, because I actually feel like I can lament like David does. Verse 7. Because 1 through 6 sounds great. Sounds like a lot of the Psalms, David. It sounds like a lot of what you wrote. It actually sounds a lot of the songs we sing today are written by David in the Psalms. It actually echoes a lot of what you declare God to be. Yeah, totally good. God's tent, tabernacle, lifted high. Fantastic. But what about when it gets real? And that's what David invites us to in verse 7. God, where are you? Hey, I really need some grace here. Please just answer me. I'm begging. I'm not only begging, I'm crying. I'm pleading. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You, God, have said, seek my face. I'm doing it. Because my heart's saying right now, my face, Lord, do I seek. God, you said seek you, I'm doing it. Where are you? And in the tense of structure, you think I'm joking? In actually how it's written in Hebrew, there is a shift just like that. David starts crying out, going, God, I am doing what you called me to do. I am doing what I believe in you. And I also am just waiting. When are you going to show up? And lament is full of those moments. where we continue to say, verse 9, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. God, you're my salvation. He goes into verse 10, my mother and father have forsaken me, but Lord, will you just take me in? There's anguish. There's despair. There's weight. There's pain. There's even disgust. There's this tense in us. And this is where I said at the beginning, lament is not something we're good at, because I think there's something within faith in Christ that we have said we can't be upset with God. Really? Have you read the Bible? Because those that interact with God are often bickering, complaining, arguing, fighting, yelling, and actually even cursing God. And lament is where we find the experience of the human reality that God wants to meet us right there where we are most broke. Lament is a powerful space in our faith and our development, because God is okay with asking us for him to show up. Some of you right now, you're lamenting and you're not actually lamenting. Some of you right now in this space, in this room, you have things going on in your life that you are actually lamenting with God on. And you're doing it in a way that you're trying to just make it make sense, as opposed to just being okay sitting in the ache. And some of you go like, well, Danny, like, where have you lamented in your life? I'm so thankful you asked the question. I'm going to tell you. Here's where I've lamented in my life. 2007, I got sat down. I was at a church and staff in Bakersfield. There are good things in Bakersfield. I was on staff. I was a youth pastor at the church of Bakersfield. I was making $33,000 a year. Church about the size of Encounter. I got walked into a meeting, and we were told that every staff had a 30% pay cut. Y'all remember what happened in 2008? Yeah. Here's what happened. Our church had gotten into a conversation with a land developer, and it went bad. I was lamenting from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. working overnights at Costco because I had a 3- and 2-year-old. While showing up leading a student ministry of 150 students, while showing up and trying to serve the community, I was lamenting big time. 2004 began a 5-year journey in my side of my family that we experienced a major death every single year. It got to the point that when my family called, I quit answering the phone. I let it go to voicemail because I didn't want to know the bad news. My cousin, who were raised like brothers, he was the first. He overdosed in his sleep. My grandmother, who actually helped raise me, she died of a unique kidney cancer from 87 days from diagnosis to death. My aunt, my mom's sister, passed away suddenly. Then it was my grandpa, then it was my uncle. Then, 2014, took a risk, went to church in Missouri. If you ever hear me refer to it as misery, there's a reason. Have you ever experienced chiggers? Oh my goodness. Don't look it up. Do not Google that. If you don't know what a chigger is, do not Google it. Some people are like, oh, let me Google it. We moved there, fantastic community, and here's where we lamented. We pulled in at 11 p.m. at night, walked in the rental that we secured sight unseen. By the way, don't ever do that. Walked in, laid sleeping bags on the floor, walked out at 6 a.m. We just needed 7 hours of sleep because we'd been traveling for 34 hours. Tried to find a rental, found a rental, literally unpacked a box on Sunday afternoon. Monday, I just called my wife to check in with her. She was trying to figure out school because we're navigating her boys and all that. On the phone, and I hear this blood-curdling scream, get home now. House caught on fire. We were displaced for 9 weeks. Didn't know anybody. Kids are navigating schools, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out our own sanity. We actually slept in the church for a whole week, trying to figure out life. Church I was serving at in the Bay Area, we had a conversation with me and my staff. We had a small group leader that made some decisions that impacted students in a negative way. We had a sit down with that small group leader and said, hey, you can still serve, you just can't serve in the capacity. The ripple effect of that between just visceral, vicious statements to staff and our pastoral staff became just personal, became personal attack, became flooding everywhere. Anytime, you all know this, when relationships are involved and something goes south, everybody's affected. And for me, I got thick skin. I really do. But when my son came home from school, and it affected where he went in a safe space, oh, I lamented. Folks, anybody that stands on the stage, we are no different than you. See, in the developing in the relationship with Christ, here's what happens. We are going to face moments in life because Jesus did not promise perfection. Jesus did not promise that life is going to be great or fantastic. Jesus actually promised trials and tribulations. Jesus promised life is not going to go great. So when we have those moments, guess what we get to do? We get to lament. It's an invitation to part of how we sit back and let God be God in our lives. Because in lament, it is not about whining and complaining. No, 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 no. Lament is about connecting deeply with our human experience and inviting the God of the universe into that to allow us to seek transformation. Lament is an invitation for growth in faith and transformation. Lament is not an excuse to gripe and complain. Lament is an opportunity for us to trust in the resurrected Christ. The good news, which is why Lent is so powerful, is because we celebrate the gospel. We celebrate the fact that we're created by a divine God, and yet we're marred by sin, but redeemed by a resurrected Christ. The good news is the fact that when we celebrate Good Friday, it is a declaration that Jesus took care of death once and for all. That when we walk in here on Easter Sunday and we say, He is risen, there we go, He is risen indeed, we declare that that specific moment in physical time that Jesus declared Himself to be God and God alone, that in the promise of the resurrection, we have a Savior who will walk with us through everything. In Lent, we prepare ourselves to allow ourselves to experience the resurrected Christ. When you look through the entire New Testament, Jesus' entirely earthly ministry was reminding the disciples, was reminding Israel, was reminding Jerusalem, was reminding the call that the God that you believe in, that you've known since birth, the God who created, the God who redeems, He's now here. And not only is He here, He's here with you. And when you experience the resurrection, you cannot deny what is next to come. And what is next to come is constant growth and transformation. When we think about surrender, another word we can use is trust. I trust Jesus because of who He is, not what I get. I surrender to Jesus because of who He declares Himself to be, and I believe in the resurrection, not because I get good things. And lament is one of those spaces that we just remind ourselves that even in the hard, God is still good. Even in the challenging, Jesus is still going to show up. It may not be how we want it to, and that is a surrendered life. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus records, right after the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most consistent moments I find in my when I'm lamenting that I have to go to. It's Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus, after the Sermon on the Mount, is reminding the disciples, what does it look like to live out the kingdom of heaven? What does it look like to live out the fact that the divine God is here present on earth and that whatever is happening in heaven, He wants to see happen on earth as it was originally intended. And sin has broken that. So what does it look like to invite, as a follower of Jesus, that into earth? Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Okay. what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, which was David's son, in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God will clothe the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is actually thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, those who do not follow God, that's a phrase you see in the New Testament, seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God's not surprised by what you need. For heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. I have to sit in that. When I lament, I have to be reminded that God's got this thing called life. I was born in 1980. I don't know when I'm going to die, but the dash that'll read on my non-tombstone, it's a blip. But in that blip, God's going to show up every single day. Am I going to notice it? Am I going to notice that regardless of where I'm at today, even if I feel like David, I go, God, where is your face? I do not see you, and I need you to show up. No matter what I or my family are going through, or those that are closest to me are around and happening to, God, I'm going to trust that you are moving in a divine way, and I want to sit in the responsibility of acting because I believe in your kingdom. I believe that my faith in me, in you, is going to change me in such a way that when I show up in people's lives, I get to bring you to them. I want to be able to say, Jesus, that I'm not anxious about tomorrow. I'm going to trust because guess what? I can't even control what's going to happen in an hour from now, let alone tomorrow. So what if I just show up and be present? And a phrase that I have stuck with for a while, and I've shared it, and some of you in this room I've even shared it with, is be where your feet are planted. To lament well and to live well is just be where your feet are planted. My feet are right here on the stage right now, so that's where I want to be. I want to be present in this moment. In a couple hours when I'm hanging with my wife and some friends, I want to be present there. In a couple hours after that, when I'm taking a nap maybe, I definitely want to be present there, because getting home at 1:30 in the morning, that was, or going to bed at 1:30, that was rough, by the way. Those alarm clocks, they don't change. But be where your feet are planted. And being where your feet are planted, here's what the invitation is. Even if you're lamenting, can you invite someone into that? A, will you invite Jesus into it? B, will you invite someone else into it? Because in community, we are not called to lament alone. You're not inviting someone to give you the answer. You're not inviting someone to tell you it's going to be okay. You're just inviting someone to sit with the fact that you're human, and where you're at, you just need to maybe be prayed for. You just need to maybe be hugged. Maybe you just need someone that texts you or calls you once a week to remind you of the promises of God, because right now they're hard to see. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into it for the very first time because you've been walking by God but not with God. The invitation of Jesus is alive and well. And in the season of Lent, we get to celebrate it in two key ways. One is Good Friday. We're going to be having Good Friday service right here in this space. And the invitation there is to be reminded of the death of Jesus. The cross looks really good in gold and silver, but the cross is a horrific image. The cross is an image of death. And it's in the death of Christ that we celebrate the forgiveness of sins. It's in the death of Christ that reminded that we don't have to try to fix it ourselves, that God said, I want to meet you where you're at as I always have. And in this space, our staff is creating an experience for you to just sit in the fact that God loves you so much right where you're at. And then Sunday morning, we're going to party. Because when we say he is risen, we'll get there. We got 2 weeks. But when we say he is risen, we don't just say it because it sounds fun to echo back. We say it in a way because we believe that the resurrection of Christ changes everything. I shared at the top that I have something I personally practice during Lent, and it's actually a resource called Cries from the Cross. That QR code will get you to it on Amazon. It's written by a theologian and pastor, Erwin Lutzer, out of Moody, and I have spent years reading this. And it takes the seven statements of Christ that you see during the crucifixion story. It invites us to be very human in them. And I don't know where you're at today. I do not know your story. I do not know what even made you get up and want to be here this morning. But I do know this. You are probably going to lament really soon. And it's okay. When you invite Jesus into the lament, you invite the God of the universe to meet you right where you're at. When you get angry and frustrated and you cry tears of tears, it is okay. Because your human experience is real. When you get worried about what is next and what's going to happen and you do not know what tomorrow is going to bring, it is okay because Jesus is there with you. When you look at the world around and go, this doesn't look like heaven at all, it is okay because Jesus is inviting you to bring heaven to that space right then and there. When you have something deep inside of you that even feels debilitating, and it's a visceral response, it is okay, because it's in that moment that the invitation of the resurrected Christ is to say, I'll sit with you, and in the power of community, you can sit with others. I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to lead us through just a Lent prayer, and the team is going to close us. For some of you, Lent may be a word you've heard. For others, you may have a practice. Maybe the word lamenting is new for you. Side note, there's an entire chapter in the Bible called a book of the Bible called Lamentations. But in the lamenting, I'd invite you to listen to my words and mentally fill in your own space. Jesus, today I do not know how blank is going to go. Jesus, I do not know how blank this week is going to go. Jesus, I do not know what's going to look like a year from now. And Jesus, the emotion I feel, can you meet me right where I'm at? Jesus, do not hide your face from me. Lift my head upon a rock. May I be sheltered by the tent of the meeting place that you reveal your holiness and your glory. For God, you are God alone. Jesus, thanks for the space today. And in the space today, here's what we declare. You are God, the resurrected King, the Alpha, the Omega, the Holy One, the one that heals all things, repairs all things, redeems all things, and right where we're at, we know this. We know that you're moving. So God, show us where that is, even in our own lives. We love you, Jesus. Thanks for the day. Amen.